Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Morgan Cunningham with you on this Saturday on WTIC. A great Saturday, may I add, and quite an interesting show for you this afternoon. I bet that you didn't know that in Hartford, there is a river that runs under the city. And if you did know, you probably have forgotten about it because, well, it's under the city, folks. That is what we're going to be talking about in part today. A big part of the conversation will be about the dredging of the river before it runs under the capital city. Mike McGarry will be our guest. That's on the way. First, our Spotlight Connecticut headlines. You've probably heard about all of that reckless driving that's been happening in Connecticut. Just in the past week and a half dozen people have been arrested on that charge in the state. These are people who flaunted the law, who went, 120, 130 miles over the speed limit. Wow. I don't think my car could even go that fast. I think it says that on the speedometer. I don't know, though, if I could actually get it up there safely. Well, then again, I don't think anybody could get it up there safely, if you know what I mean. It's certainly been a concern in recent months, the driving in Connecticut. I would say, just from my own casual observations, you're talking to somebody that does a lot of driving across the state, from Greenwich up to Groverdale, Salisbury to Stonington, and everywhere in between. I'm driving on the roads, whether for work or for leisure, and I have just seen so much chaos, I think, since March. And I don't think that there's any one straight answer to this. Everybody's pointing to one solution here or the next, and that's why I decided that tomorrow morning on Face Connecticut, our public affairs show, I would bring on State Senator Tony Huang, a Republican from the town of Fairfield, who is also on the Transportation Committee, to talk with me about reckless driving in Connecticut. Now, he happens to be in Fairfield. I was in the town of Fairfield last Saturday, and I was almost hit on the highway by somebody clearly going well over the speed limit. I don't know how much, but it was certainly faster than what I was doing and what everybody else was doing, and noticeably so. We're not talking about 5 or 10 miles per hour here. So that is unfortunate, but that is the situation that we're handed. And a number of questions that I have for Senator Huang, what do we do about the issue? Is it more awareness, more education? I know that he's in big favor of that. You might even recall just about 2 months ago, we had the variable message board signs above the highway that were updating people on Connecticut's roads driving along. How many people have died on the roads this year? We're over 245 now. At that time, this is, again, 2 months ago, we were looking at 204, then it was 206, then it was like 210, and then it was, next thing you know, 216 and 220, and it kept going higher and higher and higher. And depending who you asked, people thought that that was offensive. Some people thought that that was effective. Some people were kind of in the middle of on that issue. I would say that it definitely got people's attention, for better or for worse. So there was an education and awareness campaign that really didn't sugarcoat anything. I don't know if the DOT will pick up on that again. They've had some other messages up there, construction-related, other traffic. I don't know, but maybe they'll return to that at some point. Is this about more enforcement? There are a lot of people who seem to agree that these state grants given to state police have led to over 66,000 traffic stops this year, which is nearly double what was experienced in 2023, because they had more resources to go target this kind of bad behavior, these irresponsible drivers? Or is this about increasing fines to better reflect, number one, the fact that our fines probably have not kept up with inflation over the years, perhaps reflecting how we have faster vehicles, heavier vehicles like EVs, compared to, say, 30 or 40 years ago, 10 years ago. Doesn't even have to go that far back to the 90s or before. I'm going to have a conversation on all of those points and more tomorrow morning with Republican State Senator Tony Huang of Fairfield, talking about reckless driving in Connecticut and what to do about it. It's worth a listen. First broadcast will be at 6. And if you happen to miss that, you could tune in again at 9:30 in the morning. Of course, come Monday, it will be podcast for your listening. Changing the topics a little bit as we go through our Spotlight Connecticut headlines. If you're in the mood for something scary, after all, Halloween will be here before you know it. I'm looking at the calendar. It is, wow, less than 3 weeks away. Less than 3 weeks away until Halloween, my friends. And if you're in the mood for something scary, this is kind of different. And they're celebrating 20 years of doing this. The West Hartford Hauntings Tour. It'll be a haunted cemetery experience happening after dark, may I add. Just adds to the ambiance, I think. To benefit the Noah Webster House and West Hartford Historical Society. A lantern-lit experience that goes through one of West Hartford's oldest burial grounds, the Old North Cemetery on North Main Street. Organizers promise that this is going to be full of history, storytelling, and spooky fun. Part of this experience is also going to be reviewing old gravestones, newspaper archives, death notices, wills, and other primary resources that can put together quite a strong picture, the roots of West Hartford, and while doing so in an outdoor theater-type setting. Now, there are 6 dates for this. They're all coming up. So 1 week from now, less than a week, Thursday, you can begin this experience October 17th. That again on the 18th, 19th, 24th, 25th, and the 26th. Don't know why they're not doing it on Halloween night, but they're not. It'll take place at the Old North Cemetery on North Main Street. Tours leave every 15 minutes. They take 45 minutes each, and they run from 6 until 8:45 at night. If I were you, I would get there as late as possible. And just a friendly note that there will be a sign language interpretation available during the October 19th show. Speaking of anniversaries, the Connecticut Ballet is celebrating quite a milestone. It's going to be celebrating the 40th anniversary production of the holiday blockbuster Tchaikovsky's The Nutcracker. New York City Ballet, American Ballet Theater, and Pennsylvania Ballet are going to be starring in the signature roles of the Sugar Plum Fairy and her Cavalier at the annual performances in both Hartford and Stamford. There will be a meet and greet in the lobby after the shows as well. The 2024 Connecticut Ballet Nutcracker will be performed on Saturday, December 21st at 2 and 6 p.m. and Sunday, December 22nd at 1 and 5 p.m. at the Bushnell in Hartford. If you'd rather check out the Stamford show, or maybe you're a little closer to that, that's going to be held the previous week. So we're talking about Saturday, December 14th, 2 and 6 p.m., and Sunday, December 15th at 1 and 5 p.m. at the Palace Theater in Stamford. Tickets for all the performances, depending on whether you want to go to Hartford, you'd look them up through the Bushnell, or if you're going to go to the Stamford show, that will be at the Palace Theater in Stamford. Our weekly Spotlight Connecticut singles update, and it's from our friend Jill Dunn of JillInIt.com Matchmaking Services. She's been a regular guest on our show before. She wants to know if you're a man between the ages of 49 and 62 in the tri-state area. Are you educated, intelligent, and driven, or do you know someone who is? Maybe also kind-hearted and playful, that would be a plus. You like to laugh, that's a given, you gotta have that. If that sounds like you, you might be a good match for Jill's quick-witted and loyal client. The initial is J. J is intelligent and thoughtful, loves to travel and spend time with her family, and is quite fulfilled in her career, passionate about wellness too, and enjoys helping others reach their goals. If that's you, reach out to Jill by emailing hello@jillinit.com, or maybe you know somebody that would be a good match for. hello@jillinit.com. This week, Mike McGarry of the Hartford Flood Commission is going to be talking all about that controversial dredging plan for part of a river that ultimately runs under the city of Hartford.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
I'm Morgan Cunningham at Spotlight Connecticut. Of course, you can find me on socials at MC News Talk. Reach out to me there. Maybe you have a show idea. Find me on social media at MC News Talk or email morgan.cunningham@odyssey.com, AUDACY. Mike McGarry is with me. He is a Hartford everything. I know that he's got a few specific titles, but I think that he pretty much does almost everything that there is to do in Hartford. And you know, Mike, welcome to the show. When I told everybody that you were coming on with me, they're like, tell Mike I said hi. So Brian and Cuppy, the whole gang, says hi. Steve Parker, they all say hi, Mike.
All right. Well, you guys got a great station, I'll tell you. I really have followed it since the years of Bob Steele, when my little guys would, they're now, you know, 50s, early in the morning, they would come running in, the first snowflakes, and said, listen, 5
let's listen, yeah.
And they'd say, do you think? And they go, oh, Ansonia closed, Bloomfield closed, Hartford, yes, all schools closed, hooray!
And sometimes you had to wait for that.
Well, we would go down to the tracks. We lived in Ashley Street, go down to the tracks and collect bits and pieces of wood. Lug it back on a sled. It didn't have much burn power, but I'd dry it out in front of the fireplace, and they could put their sticks of wood in the fireplace right before the snow got too bad. What years they were.
Wow, that's crazy.
Anyway, I'm ready for you. What do you need?
You know, when Bob Steele was on the air, let's think about this. He was there for the flood, certainly of 1938. I don't think he was there for the one in 1936. Missed that by, I think, just a few months. But in those earliest years, the Park River in Hartford had some troubles and some impact on the city of Hartford. And we've got to talk about that before we can talk about what's being proposed, the dredging of that river today and how it ended up running under the city of Hartford, how you got under there, all those things. So take us back to the late 30s, early 40s. Would you, Mike?
No, not at all. In the year 1936, 5 square miles of Hartford were underwater. Imagine that. It was a catastrophe. The floods, the damages in Hartford were back there, 6,500,000. Now that would be multiplied by many times today. The water stood 6 feet deep on the second floor of the coal factory. Imagine that, 6 feet deep.
Wow.
And that, not the first flood. Floods always happened along the Park River of some Thomas Hooker times. Now, the floods weren't just downtown, but they actually backed up all the way up the Park River, North Park Branch. There was flooding. Even though it went uphill, and when water goes downhill, it went uphill, it flooded a lot of places back then. Not to this extent that, for example, Oxford had, where 100 years they never had a flood, and they had it all of a sudden, because nobody was foolish enough to build on the north branch of the Park River, because they knew it was going to flood every year. And it did, you know, all the time. So it was 36 and 38. 38 was a little different. I actually have a film, amazing old film we found in City Hall. The door hadn't been opened since the 40s. And in there was this war report I'm telling you about. The War Department actually made a report about this. It's pretty spectacular what they did. The benefit of this flood protection is far-reaching. Within the areas hitherto flooded are important war plants, as well as electric generating stations, which furnish power to all the war plants in the vicinity of Hartford. Imagine that. These plants produced an imposing quantity of war material. So it was very successful. The floods of 55, which were dramatic. I was over in Thomaston. I took the train ride. And that whole area, that Naugatuck Valley area, where it had tremendous amounts of industry that I wasn't all that knowledgeable about, all washed away, much of it anyway, in the floods of 1955. Well, it didn't hurt Hartford at all because of the dike. Then 85 was a big one, which is those that were around them remember Middletown and these other places all the way down had real trouble. not Hartford. So for 80-some-odd years, Hartford's been protected by the burying of the river and the dike system. And the two are very concerning, you know, to keep up all the time. But that particular dike has protected us for all those years. None of the things you see downtown that are recently, you know, the huge convention center, that would be underwater, the science center, all those buildings along the river. They
right, it was quite
there.
Different. They weren't there at that time.
No, not at all, no. And, of course, Brainerd Field, Brainerd actually had an earlier dike put up back in the 20s to protect the airport. But it was much smaller and not anywhere near like the one we have now. When those big floods came, that, too, got flooded. So it's really been something, the history of this over the years. And it continues. I mean, every day there's something to be done. A lot of work needs to be done at dike all the time. People don't realize it. Now, one quick funny story kind of fits in here.
Okay.
I was made a chairman of flood control some years ago. And first of all, I was on flood control. Governor Rell called me. I was very active at the time. And her office said, look, we need two guys or gals, whoever, on the flood control commission because it's regional. I said, gee, I don't know anything about it. I'd like to be one. They said, oh, sure. And Harry Hardy passed now. Harry was the other guy. So we got on. And I'm on, and I'm doing my bit, kind of listening, trying to learn a little bit going on. Then the fellow from, I'm sorry, I don't remember his name, from Bloomfield, who was the chairman, dies. They turn to me and say, Mike, you're chairman. I said, what? You know, what do
oh,
I
there's
know?
The big promotion.
Yeah. Then I said, okay, well, you can do it. We'll fill you in on what you need to know. It's okay. You know how to run a meeting? Sure, run a main meeting. Go ahead, run the meeting. So I run the meetings. That's a month or two later, we get the report from the Corps of Engineers. We're out of compliance because of Katrina. They made all these rules after Katrina, which had to do with dikes, this, that, and the other. We were out of compliance with 9 of the 18. They took away our federal flood protection because of that.
Oh, you had to redo it, I imagine.
I had this telephone-sized book of stuff that I only understood about 10% of it. So I left a guy, John McGrain, famous guy, wonderful guy. Now he's now retired out of the city and doing a lot of consulting. John took me through it. And we yellowed out all the very, very important things, which were dreadful. Boy, oh boy. Because year after year after year, councils would look at the budget. There was a big fat sum for flood control. They look at that. Looks fine to me. Cut that out. You know, and he did that year after year after year. And, of course, the deck needs constant work and investment. So we got this report. Ay, ay, ay. So Pedro Segura, I'm very friendly with Pedro, but I call his office, and they say, well, you know, he's awful busy. Maybe in 3 weeks. I said, look, this report came out. Before it gets to the Current or WTIC, we'd better talk about it.
Right.
So I bring it in, Pedro's mouth drops open. He hadn't had time to read it. He said, what? Don't let that get in the press. I said, well, we can tell him we're working on it. And Al Ilg, remember Al? I don't think you knew him.
No, I don't.
He was a dean of city managers countrywide. And he was brought in by several administrations, and this administration should bring him in. And he could literally straighten things out. About a month later, we had a plan. And a year and a half later, we got out from under the dire circumstances, put together by our great staff, Nick and Frank, over there at the Public Works Department, because it was a pretty dreadful report that we hadn't done this, hadn't done that. Things as simple as you have to keep it well tended, you have to keep it well mowed down, pull up any trees, and if there's any rodents, you've got to get rid of them, because a rodent will dig a hole, right? And he'll go in there with mama, and they'll have a couple babies, and they'll expand their cavity, right? And then they'll get more babies, and I guess they'll have a clan pretty soon condominiums. And then when the water gets in there, the water will expand. What would happen to the dike? Uh-oh.
Yes.
So that was just one of many, many things, pumping stations and this and that and the other.
Tell you what, Mike, I need you to hold on the line. We're going to be back in a moment on WTIC. Mike McGarry, he is talking about the Park River in Hartford. We have Mike McGarry with me on WTIC on Spotlight Connecticut. He is the chair of the Greater Hartford Flood Commission. But
listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Is there really one title that works for Mike McGarry? I don't think that there is. He's like the Hartford everyman and has been for some time. We love Mike at WTIC. You know, whenever you need some information on Hartford, officially or on the DL, the down low, Mike's got it, most likely. Or he can, at the very least, steer you in the correct direction. And it doesn't have to be just the Park River. It could be anything. Happens that this week we're talking about the Park River. Mike, welcome back to the show.
Yeah, one little note I want to get in. I forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah.
This stuff has been around the pumping stations, you know, 80 years or so. And bits and pieces fall apart, and dangerously so. But those can't be bought anymore. They're all, you know, how many generations ago. So what they do is they have to take one that's not busy and take those pieces and have those cast. I guess it'll be 3D printed someday. But whatever they do now, they actually have to take a piece, take apart one of the pumping stations, have it recast to build up the old one. So someday we're going to pay the piper. Someday we're going to have to...
You're going to have to do a total redo.
Total redo, but that's a huge amount of money. The amount of money that really over the years have to be put in to the dikes would scare you. One project being done soon is called Tow Drains. Now, all water runs downhill, correct? And all water seeps maybe under the... Do you realize in the middle of all the dikes are steel plates that go all the way down to bedrock?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, and it's rubble, and not rubble, but rocks, big rocks and dirt on either side.
Big project.
And then the water, I'm not an engineer, but in layman's terms, it seeps under, I guess, lots of places, and it turns the soil liquid. It could. Liquid soil would collapse. If the liquid soil collapsed, the dike would collapse.
You've got a big failure.
They got a big failure. So now we're building these $10 million or somewhere near that, drains, tow drains, like a little stream all along the inside of the canal, a little canal along the inside of the dike with pipes that carry the water away. And that's coming. I guess it's out to bid soon, or by next year, I guess they'll be doing it. People will see that. and then they'll think about the dike, and maybe we'll have some articles or more information about that. Well, anyway, about the Park River.
Now, the Park River, they're talking about, you know, this dredging going on possibly that's been proposed at the Park River. Major price tag, north of $50 million from what I understand. So just what is this all about, and what is the Park River for people who aren't too familiar with it, Mike?
Well, the Park River starts way up past the University of Hartford, and there's two, I forget the two names, Beeman's Brook and another one. Two big brooks come together, and literally dozens of small streams that somebody just found with this study. There's dozens of small streams and rivulets and all that. I foolishly one day, behind where I live is where it goes underground.
Farmington Ave area, that part?
Yeah. And what happens there is when you have a lot of rain, the term is called freshet. It's a Dutch term for when, I guess it's a Dutch term, I've been told that.
You love this word. You love this word, Mike.
Yeah, it's great.
For the listeners, exactly he's using it all the time.
What happens is all this snow and ice and everything in the winter, several times during the winter, you'll get a lot of rain. You get the spring, the winter thaw in January. You get various times during the spring. All the snow will melt. It'll rain. And the water will go up. I've seen it go up as high as 12 feet in a matter of a couple of days.
Wow.
12 feet. And it's a torrent. You look out our back area, and it's acre after acre flooded 4, 5, 6 feet deep all over the place. You know, and to control it's virtually impossible, kind of like Oxford or Vermont or now North Carolina. When nature wants to do what it wants to do, I don't care what you do.
It will.
It's going to do its thing. Well, the idea was, the idea that been bandied around was to take the water up at the north end that's on the streets and somehow combine it, I don't know all the technical details, but have that water go into the north branch, which is up toward UHA, starts at Farmington Avenue in Hartford, where it goes underground, goes all the way up past UHA, 5 miles or something like that, but quite a distance. It's all wild, wild country. As I mentioned, when this stuff flooded, you know, nobody built anything in a lot of the area because they knew it was going to flood every year, you know. You have 300-year-old trees here. You have cougars up there. You have bears. You have deer. You have antelope, for all I know. All kinds of stuff up and down that stretch. And if you look, I looked at a map the other day of the assessor's office. Now, if you ever really want to look at your what's around your property, you go to the assessor's office of your hometown and look at their book. These are much more detailed maps than anything else you can get because, of course, they got to know the value of every little inch of the town. And I see that river, it's serpentine, and I know from that foolish walk I took during a rainy, rainy day, I walked along the edge of the river. That it wasn't a little river anymore. It was really starting to come. So I walk along it just to see it. I look back, and where I had walked had flooded over. Uh-oh.
You're in trouble.
They're in a hurry. But I looked around, and all up and down this little river, they call it, the North Branch or the Hog River, I look around, and I see rivulets everywhere coming down from streets, from the other woods and all that. And so the idea of dredging came up to make room for the water from the whole north end to come down when they're separating the sewers and into the Little Park River. Well, my thoughts about it.
It sounds like a good idea, but I can also see and understand that there'd be problems with it, Mike.
Well, problem number one is we get 12 feet of water. What the devil good is 2 feet of dredging?
Right.
That'd make much difference, really. Secondly, the rivulets I'm talking about carry all kind of junk with them. So after the river settles back down,
it'll fill back up.
It's still going, and all the junk gets back in. So I don't know how many years it would be before it filled back up, but I guess pretty soon. And third, that's a wild river up there. Again, Indians didn't even live there. I mean, they want to live there because they're always flooded. And it has all kinds of serpentine things. So I look on the assessor's map. Certain areas are inaccessible. I mean, really, I don't know how you can send a drone up to see them, as they did in this study. And they walked it all at low tide, I guess, when the water was low. And they figured out where all the problems are. But it changes constantly. The next time there's a freshet, it'll be another set of problems. So the idea of going in with a road, for example, to try to clear it out Well, you can only clear a little area around the road. Then what do? Because it's serpentine, and it's marshy and all this stuff. So I don't know how anybody would ever clean it out without a tremendous destruction of that wild area. And it's a wild area, the wildest area you can think of. Again, because nobody ever went there, and why would you go there, you know? And now we've had, in my backyard where I live, it's a big condominium, and behind the condominium, we saw baby bears. And we're right next to the Farmington. Baby bears ran through our backyard here. And deer got caught on a fence down near Asylum. A deer got caught and had to be put out of its misery. So just think, this is the very urbanized part of it. But you go a quarter of a mile up, and man, oh man, that's wilderness. To go in and wreck a bunch of wilderness for something that has minimal effectiveness as far as the flow goes, and will probably fill right in, it's very questionable, and those questions have to be answered before much else is done. So this million-dollar study, now this became public, so I can say it. So I had this meeting to talk about this million-dollar study. These guys are going on and on and on. A very good report, a lot of interesting information about all the places that had illegal dumping, that they had trees falling down, that silt had built up. Very interesting. A lot of that has to be sooner or later fixed up somehow. I don't know how. But anyway, so they're going on, and they said, well, we started this in August, October. I said, oh, gee, I let everybody else talk, as the chairman's supposed to do. Everybody else talks, and I said, well, I have a couple comments. I want to ask you, I understand August to October is a good time to go because the water's low, but did you study this during the freshet? Silence in the room.
Back to that word again.
Everybody looks at me. So let me explain freshet. You know, it's when the snow melts and the water comes down and cleans it out.
It's a big rush.
Freshet. Because remember, in the old days, everything went in the river. So the term freshet may have another implication. You know, so all the stuff gets cleaned out of the river, and then, you know, all year long it goes along again, and then comes another spring rainstorm. We've actually had June when the water's been up 10, 12 feet high. So this thing comes and goes and comes and goes. So it's quite interesting. The idea of taming it is very questionable, you know. So there may be other solutions. The other solution might have to be...
I was going to say, if that doesn't happen, if this dredging idea does not happen, and it seems to me that it's somewhat flawed or challenged, perhaps, what are the other options?
Challenged is a word, yeah.
Right, challenged.
Because the other option is very expensive, up past Yuha, somewhere in there. There would be a pumping station, and where they would take all that water from the roads and the street and all that and put it in the pumping station and bring it down and put it under or into the river that goes underground. The goes all the way down.
The underground portion of the Park River?
Yeah, the underground portion of Park River, it was really something. We'll talk about that a little later.
Yeah, now that would take one hell of a pump.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, probably $150 million, you know. Remember, we just spent $400 million on a similar, like the Park River in the South End. And there was a plan to take that same idea and go all the way underground, under this downtown, and the whole North End, but it was way too expensive, and they're not going to do it, it looks like. It would have been, God knows how much. So anyway, so the idea of collecting that water and sending it down and putting it right into the underground might be the way to go. My objection to pouring that water directly into the Wild River is we have herons down there now. We have fish. We wouldn't have herons if we didn't have fish. We got all these wildlife live there, and they would degrade that river. Now, some people say it's going to go there anywhere, but by the time it gets there sometimes, it's already been filtered to some degree. And they are now separating the sewage from the water, which they should have done a long time ago.
Well, that's good.
But it's good. It's got to get done.
Yeah.
And where do you put the water from the streets? They want to put it directly, I'm saying, that's a suggestion, a heavy suggestion, to take a big pipe, get all the water going to a big pipe, have a big pipe way up near Yuha, go into the river. And I think it would degrade the river. And if we're talking about clean water, that doesn't sound very sensible to me.
No.
Now, the answer would be, yes, you got to keep the streets cleaner. Well, sometimes. You have to have something to catch stuff as it comes, big stuff, I guess, to be cleaned all the time. It's very, very complicated to do that. And I'd like to see why that would not take a wild river with all kinds of wildlife and not degrade it to where the wildlife's going to go somewhere else. I mean, we've got birds and bees and flowers and the trees and all that stuff in there. And now I'd like to see someday paths, and there is a group, this watershed group, that now has actually going to have a, they'll be sending you a news release on it, I'm sure. They have a meeting this week, I think it's Thursday, where they're going to actually walk part of the river. It's a Park River Watershed, whatever heck it is.
Okay.
It's very interesting. I'll make sure they send you a news release. They're going to walk part of the river, and they're going to talk about some ameliorations. For example, down behind the old community college, there's a huge parking lot that's never used. Guess why? It floods.
It floods.
It floods.
Gee, wonder why.
And it's hardly ever used now, and is doubtful anybody will ever use it or put more money into it because it never should have been built. It's a pretty big parking lot. I don't know, a couple acres, I guess, maybe three. And that could be turned into a staging area for the water. So some of these floods may be ameliorated by that staging area. And there's a bunch of those all the way up. Part of the problem is development along the river, the little park, any river, really. And the waters, it was developed before they had catch basins and barns.
Long ago,
and
just a different era.
Right, right. People finally realized that the runoff from the parking lots, you know, oil and all that stuff, was doing a lot of harm. So today, if you're going to build a parking lot, man, you got to do all kinds of stuff. You know, so it doesn't go in. But over the years, a lot of development, good, bad, and indifferent, had been done along these rivers, especially this one, and the water would come off it with all this stuff. So I'm not too happy about the idea, at least what little I know, and I'm no expert. It would seem to me that groundwater off the streets of Hartford or any city, you know, the stuff, whatever they use to get rid of the snow and the ice, whatever blows in all the time, whatever junk people throw into it, and there's a lot of stuff that happens, you know. All that's going to end up in this, I won't say pristine, but river that's clean enough for fish and herons and God knows what. So I don't know. That's just another problem, and I guess people a lot smarter than me are going to figure it out.
Mike McGarry, he is the chair of the Greater Hartford Flood Commission. We're talking about the Park River, and that's just a little introduction to some of the challenges that it's facing as far as dredging it and some other way, perhaps, getting all of the floodwater out of the north end of Hartford.
This is WTIC in Hartford.
Mike McGarry, he is the chair of the Greater Hartford Flood Commission. We've been talking about the Park River, which runs under the city of Hartford, at least part of it does. And you can't go under there, but Mike, you did.
Well, I'm a little younger and a little more foolish. I did take the ride through there. John's River Rides, or whatever his name was, wanted to make it a tourist attraction where you went up near Flatbush up there near Walmart, and that's how people get in. They're not supposed to go in there, but if you go on YouTube, you'll see that they did.
Some of those foolish explorers.
Yeah. So anyway, Andy Hart, the guy I work with myself, loaded up in a canoe with this guy. He had his canoe, and in we went. We had to go over a fence first. My wife's supposed to go with us. When she saw us lifting the canoe up over the fence, she said, I'm going home. I'll see you later. So we get in there, and you had to push the canoe for a while. One guy in, one guy pushing, sloshing through the water. Very clean, though, because nothing grows in there. So you pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And the water got deeper. You had to hop back in. And you go down and down and down and around and around and around. It's miles and miles. And it's pitch black, of course. You're in a tunnel. And the guy at one point stopped. We put all the lights out. You couldn't literally see anything. And you could yell from there, hello, 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 hello.
And you got the
hello,
echo.
Hello, hello. Pretty fantastic. Then we get down under Bushnell Park. And a little bit of light coming in. And you look way up, and there's a grate way up. It looked like a half of a postage stamp way up at the top. And some water comes in from there, but it's a little higher, so not too bad. But that, he said, that, see that? There's a few of those around.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah, and then You go, and the worst part about it is why I would never do it again, unless I had a mask, because the gnats, I don't know what the gnats eat down there. There's nothing to eat.
Oh.
There's a lot of gnats, and you got a white light. If I ever did it again, I'd have the hat on with the mosquito netting and everything in the yellow light.
Well, that would be a sight to see, Mike. I've been so happy to have you on the show. We'll have to talk again when we figure out what they're going to do with the river, all right?
Okay. We'll be glad to fill you in.
And don't go under there, folks. You've heard it here on WTIC.
Spotlight Connecticut with Morgan Cunningham. Embracing what's fun with Connecticut on WTIC News Talk 1080.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.